Hi, welcome to the big show. Yeah, we're back. Sorry I missed last week. We just had a bit of a meltdown on guests and there was other stuff happening. And it was lucky because I found my dad shivering in bed with hypoglycemia. So it all worked out in the end. He's all right, but back to being his grumpy old self again. But joining me this week to discuss the week in tech, all the big stories, a great panel. Oh, and it's off the top left, someone I haven't seen for bloody ages. I hope you got a note, mate.
Oh, yeah.
How you doing, Ian Grant?
I'm doing fine, sir. I was here when you weren't last time. I was a couple of weeks ago.
Right, that's my fault then. No, it'd be my fault.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've had 2020 hasn't been the best year for me, but things are getting better and stuff, and so now I'm looking forward to and enjoying doing this.
Mate, 2020 hasn't been the best year for me. I think is that would make a lot of money on a T-shirt.
Some of the million people that are already creating one.
Yeah, no, it's not been a good year at all, has it? You soldier on, you do your best, you keep peddling.
Yes.
No matter
that's all I can do at the moment is keep peddling. I mean, I lost my mum and that sort of knocked stuffing out of me for a bit.
Oh, I'm not surprised, mate. I'm sorry to hear that. But, you know.
I'm plodding along doing stuff now. It's better.
Good on you, mate. Get back on the horse always. Celebrate your mum's life rather than... lament it. Next to him, before we get dragged too far down this path, Jeffrey, how you doing, mate?
I'm doing well, and I'm really happy to see you, Ewan. It's always great when you're here joining us as our special guest host.
I'm the special guest host this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Oh, mate. Yes. Ouch. That hurts. yeah, I suppose I have been a bit of a lightweight, but you have manfully stepped in and taken the reins. But I haven't heard the shows yet because I can't get them because you insist on using Dropbox and I can't stand bloody Dropbox. God, I'd rather...
Well, then I'll just go ahead and give you a blanket apology right up front.
Oh, mate, I'd rather poke my eyes out.
I am so, so sorry.
I would rather poke my eyes out with a sharp stick than use Dropbox.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about Dropbox. I'm talking about the shows.
Oh, are they that bad? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. You will have fun editing.
Oh, what? Is there swear words in and stuff? Because you can edit.
We had a contest on how many swear words you could throw in and how widely and erratically spaced they could be.
Bastards.
Exactly. Just for you.
Because we love you, Ewan.
You know your mates, aren't
you? You're welcome.
Next to him, another one of me good mates, Atlee. How you doing, mate?
Hey, not bad. How you doing?
All right, pal. How's the shed coming on?
Still waiting on the electrician to be able to come in and authorize the change of the panel. Once that gets done, hopefully we're having it done very early next month. So once we do that, then we can start throwing up walls.
Won't you be snowed in soon?
No. We won't get snow here until late December, early January. And we don't get that much of it. We get maybe maximum a foot.
Okay, that's...
We're right on the ocean, so it's just not enough to snow us in. We never really get snowed in.
All right, okay, that's good. Mountain passes don't get closed and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you well?
Yeah, very well. Seem to be faring a little better than others, which is nice, but... kind of sometimes makes me feel guilty that I'm not dealing with all the things everybody else is.
No, but the last show was interesting because you pulled out a bloody great snake afterwards.
Yes.
And wrapped him round your neck.
Yeah, well.
On earth. Wasn't pleasant. And last but by no means least, Patrice. How you doing, missus?
Doing good. It's been a couple of weeks. A lot going on.
Did work sort your MacBook out?
I haven't even been in with our IT department to have them erase it. So I can't even send it in. I might do that next week. It's just been like with a corona case in my team and a corona case in another team and a court plan and everything. I just haven't been to the office in the next sound over. I've been 2 months. Yeah,
never mind, mate. You're here now. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
The week in tech, the big stuff that's gone on. Who's got the fastest fingers in the West and got the first story that we're all going to talk about knowledgeably? I haven't looked. What, 3 weeks?
I can't believe that I'm dropping mine in before anyone else's.
Well, we might have known you'd drop it in. Oh, hang on. Privacy notice. Bugger off, Gizmodo. Security floor could see your dick to jail forever.
Okay, so here's the story.
Send.
And I'm certainly not passing judgment on anyone, although I do have concerns about the physical safety, the health safety risks of penis cages or male chastity devices. In this case, the problem is a lot more severe because this is a smart male chastity device, and it's possible to hack. And if a hacker gains access to your penis cage...
As long as there's no crush mechanism, I'm all right with it. I don't care. But
help someone hack my dick.
No, I think you will care because if it does get hacked,
why do we need this thing?
And it can't ever be unlocked again.
No.
Yes, there's no emergency release system on this device. So,
this is built by an angry housewife.
Well, those of us who've been married for a very long time won't notice, so that's okay.
Okay, so there is that. You have to cut this off, but of course you need to be very careful.
Oh, that angle grinder.
So that you cut only the things that you intend. And this brings up an important point with a hard lesson. There's a lot of companies out there that are making products that are deemed smart products, or they have some sort of online access, and they need to have better security because the idea of someone being able to lock your dick in a penis cage permanently is a little bit concerning.
I've got to say, yeah, I was quite worried when they hacked a Jeep on the other side of the country. That was as a proof of concept. This goes way beyond. Absolutely.
Wow. Yes, it does.
It's a thing we don't need.
The Kuiu, if that's how you say it, cellmate chastity cage. It's Bluetooth.
I think it's a great idea. I think this is... Darwinism at its best. People that are scooping up and putting this thing on should not be breeding.
Well, no, I don't think it's for people who shouldn't be breeding. I think it's for people who have tried to breed with someone that didn't want them to breed with them. I think it's probably for sexual offences, is it not?
No. This is sexual pleasure.
This is
quite the fetish. But typically...
People locking their dick in a cage is a pleasurable thing.
Well, for some people.
You live and learn. You live and learn.
But, well, if it's a pleasurable thing, what happens if the obvious happens when you do pleasurable things?
Now, you see, this is why I think that penis cages are a health hazard. Because if what most people would do when they use one of these is leave it on.
And I thought I was only bad because I hadn't kept up with the tech news this week.
And then let's say you get excited, you can actually rip muscles and in essence, break your penis.
Yeah, you can cause some strain, especially if they wrap, some of them wrap around the testicles in order to secure themselves. And you can cause a lot of damage to your testicles from some of these if you get too excited.
There's a lot of knowledge on dick cages here. I didn't even know dick cages were a thing.
But I thought this.
This was part of the penal system. Excuse the pun.
people buy these and use them willingly and for their own pleasure.
Mate, I feel a Google search coming on.
Of that song, "Dick in a Box." Someone went with it.
Ben is suggesting the title Cocklock, which I think is really good, actually.
I call it the P3000 Robocock.
And Wes just said that's a real dick move. I need to know. I've got to Google now, and I've got to Google and find out what.
Do we need to just wrap up the show after this story and call it a day?
Yeah, I mean, whoever's coming after Jeff.
Go home now.
Yeah, no, Jeff, I can't believe you ruined the show this way. How dare you?
I think we've got the title here, a real dick move.
Apparently, it says the companion to the dong lock has a vulnerable API, meaning that a savvy bad actor could swoop in and take control of the device without a password. While loss of control is, to some degree, the point of the fantasy, permanent internet jail for your wiener may be beyond the scope of typical kink.
I agree. That's probably beyond what most people are expecting when they use the device like this.
Apparently, the vulnerability can be exploited very quickly and consistently.
Yeah, and there's no way to firmware update this.
If your knob gets hard, it's not hard to nubble your cock. There's got to be a hard. There's a hard pun in there somewhere, and it's not hard.
But clearly, the hard stop, won't it?
Right. I looked at that. See, look at the picture.
This is a software issue.
No, the picture looks like one of those cases where you put keys in for when you get locked out of the house and there's a code to get in.
Or one of those Bluetooth, the old school Bluetooth earpiece things.
Yeah, that's it.
That's almost what I thought it was when I saw it at first.
It doesn't look like it's tortuous. It looks like it's, like I said, it looks like a device for punishment. Okay, which I guess it is, yes, fair point. What's the button on the front? Is that like an electronic thing?
I'm assuming that's what activates the device when you put the two pieces together.
Okay.
I watched the little video that goes along with the article because how could I not? And the metal piece that looks sort of like a ring that you can see behind the
that clearly goes round the fellows.
Yeah. Yep. So that goes around the testicles
around your plums. Yeah.
And then the shaft goes on your penis and then it locks together and now you are locked into this device. I'm assuming that button is what activates the lock.
Wes has just brought up the idea of ransomware for this, and it could actually be interesting that you get a little notification comes up on your app and it says your penis is now locked. Please deposit one Bitcoin in order to have it unlocked. This beats the hell out of just locking, encrypting your drive, doesn't it? I mean, it is.
Yes, it does.
Because you're going to pay.
For some people, probably not.
You're going to pay. You know, you're going to pay because you're going to have to. I mean, what you've got to pee. You've got to.
Well, you can. Look at the end.
There's a tiny hole.
Little notch in the end. Yeah. Guess what that lines up
just
with.
What I want to do is to sit a cup of my own piss. There's a little hole in the end of it.
You've got to clean it. It'll start smelling. It's like the one Bitcoin. It seems like a good investment after a few weeks.
Yeah, I'm thinking
I know we'll call the ransomware. Pay for your pal.
Oh, mate, yeah. that's a quality story. Right, who's going to follow that then, boys? Oh, dear.
I think
Atlee thinks he's got it. No, Atlee thinks he's got it.
Before we started talking about it, I thought this was a pretty decent story.
Now.
A triple phone.
The dual fold phone.
Yeah.
Tell us more, mate.
So they're thinking Samsung's thinking that the one fold, the double screen isn't enough. They're going to put two folds in it and make the screen even bigger.
Right? It works.
So they're thinking, but if you look at the design, it looks like the way that they're designing it. It's going to make them, if you've seen how thick the Samsung fold is, this phone's going to be really thick. It's going to be like a miniature brick.
That's going to be huge. By the looks of that diagram.
Does that remind me of
fire?
It's fantastic they put a completely unusable keyboard into it as well.
But it's one of those glass typing cables, which will be awful to type on.
Yeah, it'd be awful. Yeah. Horrific.
Well, it'll have tactility, but it still won't be nice.
The keyboard is just a screen keyboard. Mm-hmm. So you can have the screen keyboard sort of sit on its own little thing and make it look like it's kind of a thing. But nobody wants to type on a pad.
No.
Nobody's doing top-level typing straight down on a screen the size and width of a phone.
I mean, the use case for these things is you want something that's small that then unfolds into something larger that you can use.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want something that looks like more or less a house brick you're going to carry around with you already. That's
yeah,
because I've seen pictures of that new Microsoft Duo one, and that actually looks quite clever and almost like something that you might want to use.
Yeah, I mean,
because put together the Samsung or the Microsoft Duo, folded together, it's about the same thicknesses as one side of the Samsung Fold.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Which is where you want to be if you're having a folding device. You need that thinness.
Yeah. We're back to the days of carrying around a Nokia communicator. I mean, they were like a brick.
Well, and that's the thing. This is going to be thicker than the Nokia communicator, because if you think it's going to be roughly the thickness of the Samsung Fold, and there's no reason to think it would be any thinner, because at this point they haven't put out two generations of it, and they've made it only very slightly marginally thinner the second time around, that's going to be three times the thickness of an iPhone.
You know what? I finally figured out what that design reminds me of. It kind of reminds me of like a Lego version of a folding phone. Like with the boards and the side or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. It's the Lego phone.
Yeah. It really, honestly, I could probably whip up a Lego phone that looks pretty much like that on the design and the sides and everything. That's funny.
I'm already running through the brick inventory list in my head to make this.
Yeah, me too. I know it'll make those little turn pieces on the side. Yeah,
exactly.
Actually, if you do this with Lego, you can make those hinges smaller and sleeker.
And the weird thing is, if you look at the way it folds the two pieces onto the bigger piece, which basically could have been completely putting one fold of one larger piece that went all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're looking at the width of it, they could have just made it. They're basically trying to make the Duo with an extra hinge.
Yeah, kind of.
Because it's not like it got any bigger because of the extra hinge. It's that they put two hinges in, and it just doesn't make any.
Yeah, sense. And I mean. The other screen
folded on the back and it went triple the width, then that would make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other problem I see is it's folding to the outside, so the screen is basically, when you fold it up, the screen is wrapping the device.
The screen's always exposed.
Yeah, well, the only thing I'll say about that is, if you look at the way that the screens fold in, I think there's a real creasing issue and a real... I will never buy one of the folding phones until we've seen one operate for 3 years and not crack.
Well, if you look at the way it goes, it looks like it pulls away so far on the one end to allow the screen to fold around. Because if you look at it when it's full,
I see what you're saying, the screen goes
across the whole thing.
Yeah, just on that back view.
I see what you're saying.
It looks like it's pulled itself in like a quarter inch.
I'll wait till it comes. Mm-hmm. It's the next frame, I think. There we go. That bit there looks like it's pulled in.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's full there, and then it's pulled away from the edge there. Yeah, no, that looks quite a nice solution, actually. If the screen is super scratch resistant, then that gets rid of your kinking and bending issues where you get the creasing. It could be
all
right.
What I'm wondering about, though, is that think about putting that in your pocket, and then that place where that screen is pulled out, it's going to get whatever, there's going to be crap caught in there. This is not a logically usable solution, in my opinion.
I'm wondering if the company that designed this is the same one that designed that chastity cage.
Yeah.
Your phone's been hacked closed.
Yeah.
You can't open it anymore.
I think the thing is we're kind of right at the open end of technology as far as the folding phone goes. We know we want it. We know we'd really love to have the extra real estate on the screen. And we're just at the stage where they're going through the can we even remotely make it work
kind of
mode of it, and it's sad if we're you know, we shouldn't be slagging it off because of the fact that it's not there yet. We should be happy that, you know, they've got further than they ever
had. These are all experiments.
But it's Samsung. Like you know, Samsung just finds everything and throws it out on the market and let people figure out whether it's any good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Samsung is the master of creating a solution that's looking for a problem.
Well, Microsoft is also excellent at that, too.
Yes.
They've really made a
mark
from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Microsoft have gone quite quiet at the moment, haven't they?
I think the consumer play is pretty quiet right now, but they're also being smart. The idea of introducing new products at the time when the economies are also under strain and people's personal budgets are under strain. It doesn't lead to the responsible thing of sending out new technologies and new things for people to buy.
Didn't they just announce this Surface Duo and the Xbox?
Yeah, but Surface Duo was announced over a year ago, and so was the Xbox.
Okay.
They were not put out on the market. They have other products that they were planning on releasing this year, and they basically just sort of said, we're going to put this away for a little while.
Somehow I thought they announced that this year. Maybe I'm confused.
No, the Surface Duo was announced in early 2019, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the Xbox One X, everybody knew they started working on that basically right after the Xbox, and the rumors about its look and everything started coming out the beginning of this year before the pandemic started.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I thought it was an interesting look at it, but like I said, the dual fold of it doesn't make any sense in as far as it doesn't add any more real estate to the screen.
I just think it's interesting that you could have done the same fold with one hinge. But I think it's interesting that they've looked for an outward fold to prevent the creasing. You got to give them some kudos for that. Whether it works or not, whether the screen gets scratched to shit, I don't know. But good on them for trying to think around a problem with a better solution.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I think that it would be interesting if they had some way that extra open space was covered or less likely to have anything get jammed in it. So that when you try to open, because I can see...
Maybe you get a case with it.
Well, yeah.
And it's even thicker than... Yeah, you get a case and it's even thicker.
Yeah, exactly.
The case is thicker than the phone.
How do you put cases on these folding phones that don't just make them monsters? Like, Microsoft's Surface Duo just has these little bumpers on it, and that's it. That's all you can really put on it.
You actually need a battery pack for this as well, that's because of the consumption of the... The power is just horrific because of the size of the screen.
Yeah. Unless, of course, they use those extra flaps to house battery, which I'm surprised that's not what manufacturers are doing, is that the second fold is basically just all battery to power this extra large screen.
Yeah, they're, like I say, it's cutting edge, and they're just using the market as open guinea pigs, aren't they, really?
Yeah, fair enough. Well,
every company does, though, don't they? They all test.
Have we got an estimated price on this?
I didn't see one in the article.
No, it's just pure concept, isn't it? It's the Geneva. Maybe. It's the Geneva car show rather than the CES.
But it's probably going to be like at least $2,000. Since that's more or less what I think the current Galaxy Fold is going for.
Right. Yeah, I think it's a bit pricey. And I wouldn't buy any of these folding phones until I've seen that they've really got some reliability.
Yeah, those are early adopter phones, definitely.
Yeah, early guinea pig phones.
Yeah, exactly.
This is an early guinea pig phone. Patrice, you talked about NVIDIA.
Yeah, so here's a new AI supercomputer being built in Italy. And what is really crazy is, I mean, those supercomputers, from what I remember, they usually had like CPUs and all of that. This supercomputer is 14,000 NVIDIA Ampere-based CPUs. And there are also NVIDIA's like working with them. They're providing like networking capability because, I mean, somehow you have to feed those monsters. That is really, really crazy. I mean, it's an AI research supercomputer. I don't know what they want to do, but it's like a multi... like a multi-university consortium thing, like a European thing. But it's really crazy if you think about it, how powerful and how good GPUs are these days.
Well, they've completely surpassed
CPUs.
Yeah, but GPUs have been going past CPUs for quite a long time now. I mean, I remember there was a story about the US Navy, and they just took, they ran a computer on their ships with the GPUs at PS4s because they were more powerful than the CPUs that they were buying.
Yeah, but that has been a thing the last five to ten years. I mean, the whole Bitcoin mining works on GPUs. But they don't have the storage that a CPU has.
They can do the pure mathematical calculations much more quickly and much more power efficiently.
Yeah, that was one of the things that the Navy was saying about heat production from the GPUs was like.
The amount of power they use and the heat they consume, they do something like 13 times the amount of calculation or something.
Makes me think about what's old is new again, which is effectively a coprocessor, isn't it? That the CPU do the basic work of keeping everything up and running, and then these things can do the big maths in the background.
Do you know, I'd completely forgotten the word coprocessor.
The grey hair.
Yeah, I forgot I knew that word.
I mean, from back in the day, I'm flabbergasted by the amount of things I see that reappear. I mean, it's good because they're reappearing brilliantly rather than reappearing as some old nonsense that doesn't work anymore. But it's very much what's old is new keeps coming back, and it's and people are thinking that was a good idea, but can we do it better now? And the answer is yes. I've got my standard Intel, whatever it is, ARM CPU doing the basic thing of keeping the operating system up and running and the maths I need to make it do. I'm just going to offload it over here on these ridiculously powerful Ampere GPUs. Yeah. That makes fantastic sense. That's great.
You actually want SCSI back, don't you?
No.
You're Don McAllister, mate. You just want SCSI back in an excerpt.
No, I don't want SCSI back.
No, what's really cool is the things they're going to use that AI supercomputer for. Analyzing genomes, like new therapeutic, like probably like research for new medications.
Just big data, isn't it?
Space exploration, like analyzing data from space exploration and planetary research. And well, the typical thing for supercomputers these days, modeling weather patterns. I mean, that's kind of a typical use case for these machines, but you're definitely seeing more and more uses also for supercomputers in other areas, especially the medical field. So that's really interesting. Except it's universities. I mean, it's going to be a ton of research. But it's at 14,000 GPUs.
14,000? That's cool. How big that thing's going to be.
AI performance.
Performance 10 exaflops.
Yeah, so that's crazy.
10,000 teraflops. So my Xbox has 7 teraflops. That'll be 2,000 times the performance of my Xbox.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, but it's awesome for NVIDIA. They used to be kind of the underdog, and now they're kind of the thing. Like everybody's using them. Really, really cool.
Are we going to see a change in home computing with this, where if you buy a computer now, you'll get quite a small CPU and then just get a massive GPU that'll do all the off handling, and the home computer will get better because the GPU will suddenly start. And actually, you know, where Intel has dominated, NVIDIA and the other lot, I can't remember the name, will take over. Radeon, AMD, will take over. We'll take over the improvement of the home computer.
I think that might be some of the solution towards doing 64-bit processing with ARM processors.
Mm-hmm.
It's shuffling things off to the secondary processing unit or the GPU unit to handle anything that's even slightly complex and leaving the core processor to handle, you know, the mundanes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at
that is happening more and more in general. I mean, it's happening on smartphones a lot, where like it's not like there's a GPU and a CPU. There's like a GPU, a CPU, and like 15 other chips doing specialized things, like on-device machine learning and whatever. Like there's so much happening already in that field. It's not a single chip or like even two chip system anymore.
Are GPUs being stretched? Particularly in the home community, if you buy a gaming computer, I grant you, fair enough, you've got 4 gig or 8 gig of video cards. But particularly with things like, I mean, for me with Photoshop, I'm sitting looking at these, thinking, well, I've got a MacBook Air here, and that runs Photoshop effortlessly. It does it as good as my Mac Pro. It does it as good as my MacBook Pro. And actually, the big video hungry applications that were out there just aren't as big and aren't as hungry anymore. Even Final Cut, that runs on this thing perfectly fine. It's a bit slow bouncing out and rendering, but it ain't the end of the world.
Mm-hmm. And those actually,
all of those apps
are using GPUs.
Yeah.
But I also think it's based on how the programming and the core libraries, the operating systems, are also becoming better at parsing off tasks to other processing units inside the devices. Mm-hmm. I think it's a combination of everything, right? It's a combination of the software vendors writing better software, the operating system vendors creating better APIs and better hooks to being able to get into some of these things, and then also the devices themselves being able to provide more processing components to allow for specific processing types.
I've just got a notice in the chat room saying that there's a bit of echo on it, and it's the this thing that Doc got me. Pain in the arse. All the echo should be gone now. Sorry, everyone. If you've been listening on audio and you've got all this echo on it, well, we churn this crap out regularly, so it shouldn't surprise you.
Still better quality than some of the other shows we've done.
Well, anyhow. That's interesting. I think that's really interesting, because I think that's kind of a new roadmap for computing, especially with big data. The Watson X kind of stuff is all going to come through with GPUs rather than being on CPUs. If Google had to sell Chrome, who would buy it?
Just interesting, yeah.
Oh, it's our old mate, one of our Barry Collins. Well,
Barry Collins.
Our old mate, Barry Collins. Hello, Barry. You're not listening. Anyway, sorry, go on, Ian.
Yeah. It's sort of thing, it's in the US, there's come, and in the EU, both are sort of trying to find ways of minimizing the power of various IT companies. Then the idea, we're going to shrink them down, and so they'll tell them to have to sell off certain assets. One of the ones that's been mentioned is Chrome. And the idea was, who's going to buy it? Who had the money to buy it? And some suggestions are Samsung, MS, because, well, after all, now Edge is basically Chrome with the Google hooks taken out of it.
Yeah.
And then Oracle as another one. I mean, they're another sort of, that's a strange one to talk about, to be fair, because you don't know when you expect Oracle to want to go there. But as he says in there, but they've also won a sort of rights to run TikTok's US operations. So,
yeah,
you know, that kind of makes them, would they move into if they got social media, would they move into having a browser? I can't see HP getting involved in that, to be honest, or Adobe, in all honesty. I think the smart money's on Microsoft or Oracle.
I was probably right the first time. Microsoft or Oracle.
Fun?
Adobe does not make sense.
No, it doesn't. Nor does HP even.
Adobe's walked away from Flash.
They're not in the software market. They have no need to get themselves in there.
I don't think Microsoft would want it. And I don't think that even if they wanted it, they'd be allowed to get it, because then it would give them a monopoly on browsers again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it would break the whole reason, part of the reason for breaking these companies up. You can't break them up and then sell the pieces to other people to create other bigger monopolies.
And yet look at AT&T.
Yeah, none of these companies, if you think about it, they sold them to that, they wouldn't actually reduce the size of any of them. And someone like Samsung is not as South Korean. Would the Americans want to sell the most popular browser in the world to a company on the wrong side of the world? I don't think
the aim is to get them to sell the pieces off. It's to split the companies up to become separate entities. Mm-hmm. The idea is that Google would have to split Chrome off into a separate company, and that company would have to run independently of Google. They would have to split Android off into a separate company, and that company would have to run independently of Android.
I mean, to some extent, it would be up to Google whether they want to just sell it off or give it away. I mean, in Chrome's case, they could literally just give it away. Like, give it to, I don't know, the EFF, for example.
It's like already kind of given away because Chromium's open source and free, isn't it?
Exactly.
And that's the same. That's that code base.
They might just say, okay, like, I don't know, here's the rest of Chrome. Give it to like a big open source organization and say, yeah, you maintain it now. Done.
I mean, I like that idea.
But you've got to bear in mind, this thing's on 70% of all desktops and 65% of all mobile devices. It's the most common browser in the world. Are they not going to go, okay, well, someone's got to give us a few bill for this?
And also, even if they were to donate it to the EFF, that wouldn't solve the problem. The EFF already owns a browser. Like, there's already open source browsers out there.
Yeah, but that's like owning a Mini and someone offering you a Lamborghini, isn't it?
Yeah, but it
doesn't solve the problem. It basically puts the browser back into a place where other browsers already exist. They would want it to be a separate entity,
right? To some extent, all the browsers live in that space. I mean, I don't think there is a browser that is not at least at its core open source. Safari is WebKit, which is open source. The core is open source. Chromium, open source.
Maybe they just need to say browsers aren't allowed to be owned by anybody.
Yeah. I mean, that makes most sense.
Oh, mate, how'd you get your money back for the development time then? Then what you're throwing in these browsers.
Google has already made its money back from its development time, trust me.
No, yeah. I know, but if you're then saying that anything that you do with browsers going forward has to be done egalitarianly
end of any more improvement in browsers, pretty much.
I don't think so.
Oh, it would.
Well, it doesn't hurt Linux in any way. Why not?
Chromium, if you look at WebKit, there's a massive community. Even Mozilla, there's a massive community.
Yeah, but WebKit has not evolved outside of Apple pushing it to evolve. WebKit does exist as an open source thing, but Apple is contributing heavily towards it, and the new features and the new things that go into it are mostly due to Apple. The open source community has added some small new features, but if you look at any major evolutions of WebKit, it has been driven by Apple.
Well, it's not entirely true. I mean, yeah, Apple is a big contributor, just like Google is a big contributor to Chromium. But there is like a pretty healthy and pretty big community of people out there actually contributing new things to it.
And who's
usage side is a different story. Like, I mean, yeah, Apple is putting it on all their platforms. So yeah, that is a different thing. I mean, nobody's even down. I don't think you can get.
But then there's another problem that comes with that, right? Without a major company running it on the browser and sort of helping to enforce the viability and the good nature of the software being developed, there's a lot of open source projects that are an absolute disaster for you to install on your machine because they've got all sorts of backdoors and all sorts of other ways in and intrusions and things like that without a company that says, well, Microsoft puts its name on this so make sure that all the backdoors are closed. Google puts its name to make sure that all the loops and everything. If it's fully open source, there's none of that anymore.
Well, that's not
true. WordPress is a perfect example. WordPress is an open source project. But Automattic is providing the majority of developers for it, and they're ensuring that security is a key feature. Of course, they're always finding bugs and security flaws that have to be patched.
Okay.
But there is an actual company that is shepherding the open source project.
which is exactly what I was saying both Apple and Google and Microsoft are doing. But if you're not allowing that anymore, they have to remain completely open source. How is that evolve? So, how is that continue?
But I mean, that's the thing. I think you're forgetting a little bit also the history of Chromium and the history of WebKit. Chromium is a fork of WebKit, and WebKit was originally developed, I think it was called KDE JavaScript or something, KDE HTML, something like that. It has been open source from day one, and Chromium kind of is the continuation. And yes, there, like Apple and a lot of big companies have invested in that, but it has always been to this day at its core open source. So I don't know what would even change if the EFF or someone else, like I don't know who else would be in the market for that, but like Linux, for example, could take it. Any big organization in that space could take it. I don't think much would even change.
Would it lose its popularity then, though, if people knew it wasn't Google or Google weren't supporting it directly?
I think maybe people would use it more.
You think there'd be more?
Because a lot of people don't like Chrome at the moment because they worry that every click they make, Google is logging and then feeding into their ad revenue machine. Yeah, so that every page I click on, I see 15 windows for buying shoes because I looked at my I Google once for something. You know, it's.
I've had some interesting experiences in the last few weeks over cookies. So some of the stuff that you guys have put in as your tool things, I've clicked on those. I've opened them up, and we've talked about them. And they've been in Safari on my Mac Pro here, and then the following morning, I've opened up Instagram, and lo and behold, I've got adverts for some of those products. And it's just on my phone.
Oh, after today's show, you're going to have a hard time explaining some of the ads.
No. It's the problems I've got with Instagram are the number of large-breasted women that follow me, and I just feel like I have to follow back. But it's
that's only polite.
Yeah, it's absolutely. I'd hate to upset them. And the process is that I open something in Safari on my Mac Pro and the following morning I'm getting an advert on Instagram. Like, that's... Now, if you said, okay, when you open up your browser on your computer at home, and because, you know, Safari's tied to Safari across my Apple account, then you could see why that would happen. But then all of a sudden it's like, wow, how's it got into Instagram? Because I don't recall that... Because Instagram's a phone application. It's not a desktop application. So is that Facebook pulling everything off that and then putting it into
Facebook.
And I've been quite, I'm not upset by it. Some of the stuff, it's like, oh, Jesus, I've got another advert for another thing that I don't want. but they do go away pretty quickly as well when it realizes you're not interested in them. Mm. But no, I mean, that's this whole process of browsers, you know, 30% of people is all you're talking about. Only 30% of the tinfoil hat brigade that aren't using this in the whole world.
I know. I wear the tinfoil hat, are still using Google to search for things, so it doesn't really matter. They've got me anyway.
Yeah, I just want Netscape.
I can't beat it. Proper browser.
I just want that. No, I
dial up so you can wait. So you can sit and wait 20 minutes for the big-breasted woman to eventually appear on the screen.
It's not the porn. I love the Netscape logo. I just thought it was awesome. The high seas and the ship, the compass, and
yes,
beautiful. A thing of beauty. I've got a tear in my eye. There you go. I'm lying. this podcast and all the others is brought to you by TSO Host. Thank you to them for their support ongoing, as always, tsohost.com. Please support them. Now, if that means that you want to go and buy stuff from them, then go for it. And there's an offer code, BTN20, you'll get 20% off your basket for hosting services. That's how much they love us. What they would like you to do, though, is please get yourself out on the socials. And all you've got to do, and you must do this, if you're part of the BTN army, and I noticed actually a few people have done it on Twitter in the last few weeks, just go out there and just say, thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. And that is all they want. They want the brand recognition from us. If these guys disappear, We've got nowhere to store the stuff. We've got no bandwidth. We can't get any of the shows out here, and we will just stop making shows, unfortunately. So please, please, please get out and give them that brand recognition, because that's all they really want. And also IMN Max, they're brilliant. If you've got anything with an Apple logo on it, they can fix it. Simple as. They go right down to component level repairs. They'll be pulling off tiny transistors and all sorts and replacing them. It is pretty impressive stuff, I have to say, having watched the boys do it. They've had a few things this week with water damage that they've resolved for people without having to have complete revamp of boards and screens and that kind of thing. And quite often, if you find that there's a fault on your logic board, Apple will just say that they want to replace the entire logic board and charge you. IMN Max may be able to just solve the one chip that is causing the problem on the logic board. It'll cost you, you know, an order of magnitude less than Apple are going to quote for you. If you've got a machine that is over the legacy period, then IMN Max will touch it, whereas Apple won't. And the last service that they've got is data recovery, but one of the other things that they do is they'll buy your old tech off you. So Ian Lewis, one of our listeners, went on to them last week and sent them a list of stuff that he got. So they estimated a price. They sent him the UPS label, so he fitted it in a box and he shipped it over to them. And when it arrived, they said, yeah, that's perfectly fine. The price that we've offered is the price we'll pay. And within 2 hours, he got the money in his account. So if you've got any old tech out there that can give donor parts and stuff, then IMN Max would really appreciate that too. Again, get yourself out on the socials. Thanks to IMN Max for supporting Tish Tech. Time for the cool thing. Who's going to start us off, please? Mr. Grant, have you got anything?
Yes,
well, I have. What's up with you lot tonight? Room.
A Fitbit thing.
No, what's up with you lot? You're all, yeah, you don't normally do this. I'm really impressed, boys. I'm really impressed. Thank you.
Well, right, no, there's a little a Fitbit thing. Prime Day had been the last couple of days, and they did a deal on these things. They were £38.
I thought Prime was a bit crap, actually, I have to say.
It was pretty crap.
Now, the reason why, most of the sale was crap, but the reason why I wanted this is one big reason. Back in the day, I had one of the original Fitbits. Fitbit One. You could clip to your trousers. Didn't have to wear another watch thing on your wrist. And I've been dry. It was dry. I mean, I've had another go. I had one of the, and I can recommend it, to be fair. One of the Honor bands for a while. I've been wearing it on my right wrist because I'm still a daft old sod. I like to wear analog watches. I collect watches. It's not, there's no sense in me having, and so I had this other thing. It was driving me, it was just annoying. But they do a clip, as we can see here. So I can wear this clip to my belt and I still count my steps. I've still got the connectivity. I couldn't give two tosses whether it tells me what text I've had or anything like that. I really couldn't. But it counts my steps and it syncs to my phone and I can play in the work week hustles and things like that with friends if I want to. And it's a great little tool. Just means I can join in again. Because now, my old Honor band, I couldn't because that's got some Huawei thing and it was sending my biometrics off to the Chinese or whatever it did. It's good to be fair to it, the Honor band 3 or 5, whatever it was I bought from Argos for £30 was a really good little device.
That got a bit conspiracy, a bit fast.
Oh, well, I'm, again, old and grumpy. But nevertheless, it is a fantastic little gizmo for not really very much. And I'm, as a company, I'm really impressed with Fitbit. I've used Fitbit for years on and off, as I've always been sort of superb. And they've probably got the biggest sort of brand recognition and also brand access to everybody else. So if you're using any of the other monitoring apps, generally, their APIs are allowed by the other vendors. So you can share data with them. So by far, it's one of the most sort of versatile of the services. So Fitbit, if you want a cheap thing that measures your steps and you want to clip it to your trousers rather than, or clip it to a bra strap or whatever, Fitbit Inspire, excellent. And it doesn't have a heart rate monitor. If you want one of them, there's an armband, one of them. My wife just grabbed one of those coats. I'm just really impressed with it so far. So.
Really good.
That's it.
Thanks, man. Jeffrey, what have you got for us?
Mine is an app to control your chastity cage. No, wait, wait.
Really?
Mine is an app that it's actually a fun game that's called Upspell. And the idea of the game is you like to play Scrabble.
Yeah.
But you don't have people to go play with and you just want to have like really fast little games. That's basically what Upspell is. So you get a little tray of letters, and you play. It's like a 2-minute game, and you just sit there and make as many words as you can with the tiles that you have, and then if you need more tiles, you just hit the, there's like a little trash button to trash the tiles you have and dump new ones out for you. And you just keep spelling words. That's it. And it's just like this wonderful diversion little game. And I'm absolutely enjoying it. And it's
$2. I've just watched the little animation that we're showing there, and I'm a 2 quid lighter already, mate. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. To be fair, it's... I've already spent the money now.
No, I adore Scrabble. We play Scrabble as a family, and I always win. I'm really good at getting out and stuff like that. And I like they'll put stuff in like, oh look, and hit a triple word, and I'm like, that's 75. So I love playing Scrabble games. So yes, I shall have a go at this. Definitely.
I think you're going to really enjoy it.
Yeah, love it, love it, love it, love it. Spot on, mate. Like that. I bought it. Atlee, yours is pretty cool as well, mate. I want to see what this is.
This is a tiny, tiny, tiny 10,000 milliamp power bank.
Yeah.
That has Quick Charge 3 on it. So super fast charging, super tiny, easily pocketable. And I don't know if they have a basketball player holding it because it looks absolutely minuscule in their hands. Mine hasn't arrived yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
So, oh, yeah, 20% off voucher as well. Atlee, you've cost me money.
Sorry, dude.
Is it USB-C or is it... it's all USB-C?
It's all USB-C, yeah.
Output and input. Yep. So it charges USB-C and it... yeah. Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, so you just need the one connector for it. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, it's just... I love the size of it because you can just throw it in anything. Like, you can... just have it around.
Yeah, they're showing it for scale against a credit card. And it's tiny. That's quite nice to have chucked in your bag without it weighing you down. Well, I've got an enormous thing that I got, again, from Amazon that does all this kind of thing, but it's just way bigger than that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a 10,000.
It's really nice. Only $22.99 in the US.
Oh, only £13.99 here. Well, hey.
Yeah. Exactly. With 20% off.
Ah, good pick. I like that one, mate. I might be regretting this show.
You're gonna have that game spend money. Especially,
I've got to say, boys, I'm a bit disappointed because it's all been Amazon heavy, which I've got a problem with Amazon. You know, it's not funny.
Yeah,
I'd be a millionaire if it wasn't for the fact I've found Amazon.
Everyone admit that you have a problem.
Yeah, Patrice, what have you got for us?
Sorry to interrupt your drink. Even this little box doesn't look like much. It's a HomeKit / Alexa / Google Assistant compatible smart Wi-Fi plug. I was looking for something here in Austria since I had to sell everything in the US since it doesn't work here. And I'm usually a big fan of the Eve stuff, formerly known as Elgato. They're expensive and they don't offer much more than anybody else. So I was looking for reviews, whatever, and I found those. They're from a company called Miros or something. Supposedly designed in California, made in China. So it's a Chinese product, which is totally fine. They're 25 quid or 26 in the UK for a two-pack. The app is not horrible. With HomeKit, you barely need it, like other than for software updates, basically. But it's okay. Like, it's not the best looking app, but it works. It's probably even better than Apple's Home app, which is not saying much. but yeah, it works. I mean, the only thing you have to be careful with is there are like two versions. There's one without HomeKit and there's one with HomeKit. If you care for HomeKit, make sure you get the one with HomeKit. So it's kind of confusing. But other than that, they feel very solid. They're easy to install. I mean, it's HomeKit. So what can you say? The fuse or like the power that it supports is 16 amps, so you can even, like what I do, run your coffee machine off it without any problems. So far they're pretty good, and the reviews for them, like all over the web, not just on Amazon, have been pretty solid. And for the price, I mean, I basically get almost four for the price of one Elgato one. So
yeah, I'm quite invested in the TP-Link stuff, and the mm-hmm. thing that always stops me is I would buy stuff like that if I thought that I could run it concurrently with other things, and whether Alexa would find that as part of another set of group of devices and still allow mm-hmm. me to voice control with it, because they are cheaper than the TP-Link ones. Although I've got to mm-hmm. say, the TP-Link ones that I've got down here, I had such a horrible time with Wemo, but the TP-Link stuff is rock solid, absolutely mm-hmm. rock solid.
Have one down here, they're brilliant, the little TP-Link ones with the Casa wrap. It just does what I need to do. It's
superb.
Great.
So easy.
I'm so impressed with TP-Link because they sort of came out of nowhere a few years ago and came across like they were the super cheap company because the stuff didn't cost a lot. But I've never been disappointed by anything I bought that was from TP-Link.
Yeah, absolutely. Works really, really well. Their sockets aren't cheap, but they are extremely good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that company has also other stuff like... You can see on Amazon like power strips and like light switches and like you name it. They basically have everything for everything from the looks of it.
Excellent. Ah, good pick. Like that. Michael Thing is a desk lamp. Now you're going to say, Ewan, come on, mate. Desk lamps. I do a networking group on a Thursday morning, and I usually get up early at 5:15, and I'm down at the studio, and I run it from the studio here because the green screen's better and all that kind of stuff. But a couple of times I've woken up, and it's just like, I can't be bothered. I'm doing it from home. And it's always really dark in the morning in the office that I've got at home. And when I put the lights come on behind me, but nothing illuminates in front. So I got sick and tired of that. I thought, I want something that's USB that'll just plug in the back of my Apple monitor and just throw out a little bit of light. It doesn't have to be majorly bright, but just illuminates me and makes me stand out a bit better. And I found these desk lamps on Amazon. They're not tiny. They're a fair old size. They're a good size, if you like. There's a bit of a picture here at the bottom that shows the scale against some cuddly toys. And there was a picture of a guy lying in bed reading with it. I don't know if he's on the white one. No, maybe not. So they're 40 centimeters long and the head 6 centimeters. But the thing that's nice with them is they've got clamps on them. So actually I've clamped mm-hmm. them onto the top of the screen facing away so it doesn't actually impinge on the screen. And then I've turned the heads back over to look and point down on me. So they've arched over like they're bending backwards. Plugged them into the USB ports on the back of the Thunderbolt drive. And that's it. They just sit and purr. They are great lights, really simple, really easy. And 15 quid each, so they're not going to break the bank at all.
Nice.
If you want the white ones, and only 10 quid, 11 quid. If you want the black one. So I got
that's
the black
pretty
ones.
Nice.
Yeah, they're good. The light's fine. It's not bright, but it's good enough, and it just does what it says on the tin. It's not a hill of rice, and it's USB, so I didn't want to have plugs lying around and stuff like that, which was a problem. I have a shortage of plugs at one end of the office. Got about 50 at the other end of the office. I don't sit down that end anymore. There's a bloody sofa in the way.
Oh, you'll spend more money, Ewan.
It's been a bad show, really, for that, hasn't it?
Yeah, three or four things that I'll think, yeah, I'll probably buy those.
Yeah, sorry, man. To all the listeners, do apologise. If you'd like to know what we were recommending, because you're listening on audio, then it's easy. When you get back home off your drive, go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and navigate to the chat room and find today, which is the 15th of October. And then all the links for all the stories that we've talked about and all the links for all of the cool things are always in there. If we've done a show, there will be some stuff in there for you. Go and check out. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Grant?
I'm the usual. I'm on at TIOABOA in a Slack room, maybe on Twitter, on Facebook. Usual places you'll find me. I'm there.
Excellent. Thank you. Good to see you back.
I should be back again. I think you invited me next week as well. So yeah, I shall keep coming. This is good for me.
Tom's put in the chat. Tom Ferry's put in the chat room. Today was a $30 show day.
That's cheap.
It's a $30 show. Sorry, man. Jeff, where can we get hold of you, mate?
How about Twitter and Instagram, Jay Gamut, both places, here on the Big Show, tomorrow on the Mac Show, and basically all the other shows. I did Mac Voices earlier this week, and we did a wrap-up of the Apple announcements. So the part of the show about HomePod is out, and the part about iPhone 12 is coming, maybe even today.
Dude, I'm going to have to ask you to relinquish your line tomorrow because Mr. Anatko's coming and he's only got the details for line one, so we'll be sticking on a different line, dude.
You know, for Andy, I'm willing to relinquish line one.
Yeah. He is podcasting royalty.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Mr. Hunter, where would you be?
You can reach me on the socials at Atlee Hunter, and you can reach me here on the podcast.
Excellent, mate. Great. How close are we to the Microsoft show?
I want to have a couple of conversations with you. I think I want to get it started. I don't want to wait till the...
Oh, you dirty little tease. Don't you dare.
If you want someone to come and talk about Microsoft stuff, very, very happy to join in.
Awesome. Yeah. Glad to have you.
Yeah. I'll be very pleased to see that show, mate. We've been so Patrice has been curating the feeds because we've got loads of stuff we've got loads of questionable content that really we probably shouldn't have up if we want at 50 years old to have a reputation going forward. So we've got to clear a bit out of what stuff. So some of the shows have disappeared. And I've got notifications from Apple saying that they've removed all the podcasts apart from the Mac Show, the Big Show and the Daily Show, the new show rather, from the feeds. So we've got a pile of feeds left over that we can use.
Yeah,
good. That's right.
We'll just rename them, and you'll have a list of subscribers somewhere that they can work with. And last but by no means least, Patrice, where would you be?
I am every week here on the Big Show, and tomorrow also on the Mac Show, just like Jeff. I like everything I do, all the social media links and whatever you can find on thepatrice.com, and my podcast is the Foodie Flashback, and I still haven't posted Big Chris Ashley's show.
No, I'm looking forward to that one.
I've edited it. I just have to finish the text for it and the post and stuff. So I'll try to do that tomorrow and then publish it over the weekend. But
was it a good episode?
Yeah, it's just been busy. It was an amazing episode. We talked for a good hour and a half, so the longest show we've ever done, and it was really, really interesting. There were so many surprising things. You're gonna like it.
Good, thank you. Super.
Yeah, and Brett Terpstra is coming on next. So.
Oh right, that'd be interesting.
That would be cool.
He's a vegetarian, isn't he? Vegan.
Yep.
Yeah, it will be
exactly.
I won't eat any of it, but. my name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Bacon. At Ewan Rankin. on Twitter, and you can follow the network at Beef. British Tech. On Twitter as well as tomorrow back with the Mac Show at 4 p.m. Andy Anatko's here. If you're not listening to the Mac Show, that's okay, don't worry, we don't mind, we know who you are, we'll find you. Have a great weekend, thanks for listening.